First, start at the top of Pei Gimon Aleph by the two dots. Tana Rabbanan. Achar p'tirato shel Rabbi Eliezer, nichnasu arba zekenim lashiva dvarav. So the machlokes between the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah about whether when you have a shear in the get, right, is that a valid get or not? So Rabbi Eliezer said it was a valid get. So after Rabbi Eliezer had passed away, four zekenim came along, four we're going to see in a second, four tanaim came along and questioned his position. Beilhain, who are these four tanaim? Rabbi Yosef Lili, Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah, and Rabbi Akiva. So now they're going to reach one of them. Then Rabbi Tarfon Vamar, this is his question on the position of Rabbi Eliezer. What's going to happen? If you say that this is a good get, and you say, for instance, Hari Hat Mitzar Chodam Chutzmi Ruvin, and then she goes ahead and marries Shimon, Ruvin's brother, right? She Nesra Lav, who mates below Banim, and then Ruvin dies without Ruvin, or she marries Shimon, and Shimon doesn't have any children. Learning to say, Oker Tavar Menetorah, then you're going to end up where she can't be Miyabin Ruvin because of the way the get was structured originally. Halamata Shin Zekritu. So you see from this is not a good divorce, because this divorce puts her in a position where she could, right, come into a position where she can't perform Yibum. She doesn't necessarily. Well, if there's no Yibum, there'd be no Eliza. Right? So, and then Rabbi Yosef Lulim Amar, Yosef Lulim has posited his position this way, or a question of Rabbi Eliezer this way. Hey, Kan Matzino, is Asur Lazem Tar Lazem? Where do you ever find such a concept that a woman can be mutu to one person and not to another person? Asur Asur Lakol, when she's Asur to everyone. Amutu Amutu Lakol, when she's Mutu, she's Mutu to everyone. Halamata Shein Sekritu. This is not a separation, this is not a good divorce over here. The Gemara is going to go in and dissect each one of these positions. Then Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah ben Amar Kritut, when the Torah says that he has to get a sacred Kritut, Davar HaKarut Beinod Veinah, has to be something that completely severs their relationship. Amata Shein Sekritut, and this doesn't sever their relationship entirely, so it's a failure in the requirement for Kritut. Then Rabbi Kiva Amar, Rabbi Kiva said, Hari Shahal Chazu, Benisei Tachad Min Ashuk. Right, what happens when she goes and marries somebody, a third party? And then she has children from him. Then she gets divorced or is widowed from this husband that she married. And then she goes back and marries the guy who he said, for instance, he says, you are Mutar Chodam Chutzmi Ruvain. She goes and marries, right, Eli Tzafan. And then after Eli Tzafan dies, she goes and marries Ruvain. Right, going to get Batel. Now when she marries Ruvain, she now is in violation of the original get. And the original get now becomes Batel. And then retroactively all her children would be Mamzerim. Halamata Shein Sekritut. That can't be a divorce. So she can go back and create a Mamzerus through that twist. Davar Acher. Another question from Yakiva. Hari Shari Zeshin Esrael of Kohen. So for instance, he says, Hari Mater the Chodam Chutzmi Ruvain, and Ruvain happens to be a Kohen. Who made? And then her original, I made the Megarish, her original husband dies. Lo nimseit amana etzlo. So to Ruvain, her position, her status is simply a widow. Because she was never divorced, right? With regards to Ruvain, he was excluded from the divorce. Because it said, Hariat mitzvah adam chutz mi Ruvain. So now her husband dies. Why is Ruvain, quote unquote, why would he be mutter to her? Because the original husband now is dead. So he's for regards to Ruvain, she's a widow. With regards to everywhere else, Grusha is called adam. But everybody else in the world, she's considered a divorcee. And we know that a divorcee is restricted from marrying a Kohen. So what's her status of God made Ruvain, or God made Kohen? Is he just a widow? I mean, she's just a widow to him and he can marry her? Or is she a divorcee because she's a divorcee to everybody else in the world? So that's what Gemara says. His status is one of a grusha, and she may not marry the kohen because of that. The kavachoma, if that's the case, my grusha she kala asura b'shvil tzad gerushin sheba grusha divorcee, which is a lower form of problem. There we say even when she has like a partial part of her is divorced, not her entirety is divorced, she's still considered divorced and not proper for a kohen. Eshet ish, a woman who is a married woman, she chamuro, which is a much more strict issue, a stringent issue, go closer came. Certainly, in this case, halamata shein sekritus. But in this case, what happened? He said, "Hari at mitzvah called dam chutzmi Ruvain." Now, according for everyone else in the world, she's not married. For Ruvain, she's still quote unquote married. So that's the case. If just being married is enough, right? Any part of you being married is enough, then this should create a problem for everyone. The same thing as by a Kohen, even though she was divorced from everyone else except this Kohen, and for this Kohen she was a widow, nevertheless we consider it to be divorced and not allow her to marry the Kohen. So just like a portion, when a portion of you is divorced, it affects the entire picture. So it's over here, if a portion of you is married, that should affect the entire picture. Right now, the Gemara is going to go back and discuss this. Amar Lohan Rabbi Yeshua. Yeshua says to all of them, "Emi shivin et ari lakarmita." Not allowed to ask a question on someone after they die. Meaning that, why can't you ask after they die? Because he might have had an answer, and he's not around to give you the answer. So if he had something to say, he should have said it while he was still alive. So I'm Rabbi Kulu, Iskulu, Pirkal, Department, the Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. All these questions on Rabbi Elazar's position are problematic, that they have something that will upend them, except for Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Place by Pirkal, that has no question on it. Tani Nami Hakku, the Bryce that supports this position of Rabbi, I'm Rabbi Yosef, only a degree of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and Dibre Kulan. I think that the position of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah makes more sense than all of them. So now let's go through them. Amar Mar, Nene Rabbi Tarfun Ba Amar. So Rabbi Tarfun's position was, Harishahapazu, when you say Bachim Shazeh, Shinesra Alag, again, if she says, Hariyat Mitar the Khaladam Kutzme Ruvain, and the woman goes ahead and marries Shimon, but she marries Shimon, and Shimon dies, and they do not have children, she's falling in front of Ruvain for Yibum, and she cannot perform Yibum, because she's restricted from marrying him. Maitvulum Nadim, let's say, Oker Zavar Minatarah. And it says, Oker, she's had Oker Zavar, Ihu Akar. The guy who divorced her is the one causing the problem, it's not her that's Oker Zavar Minatarah. It's not that she's Oker the Torah, but he made a condition that's going to be Oker Dover Min HaTorah. That says, Matna Mikamala. Right? So who told her to go marry? Meaning, he's not making a condition that's going to cause her to be Oker Dover HaTorah. Lo Tzagilat Lo Mitzvah Lechua. Just don't marry this guy's brother. I mean, don't marry Shimon. If she doesn't marry Shimon, she's never going to run into this problem. Right? The fact that she marries Shimon is what causes the problem. This brother of this guy, Reuben, who she's restricted. Ella, go reign la'akwa d'avar min ha'Torah. It causes a akira of d'avar min ha'Torah. So Mar says, go reign. What do you mean it causes? Ella mi'ato, that's the case. Batachiv lo yisa. You shouldn't marry your niece. Right, which is according to in the Gemara, that's like the paradigmatic marriage, is where you marry your niece. And so here you go, marry your niece. What's going to happen if you pass away? This person who marries his niece passes away without any children, right? He's going to then, she's going to fall to Yibum to her father. In that case, do we perform Yibum? The answer is no. Right, so Elamiyat about the people he saw Shemi Yamut below Banim, because maybe he'll die without children. Banim said, "Go in Akbar Tavir and Torah," and you will cause that there will be no Yibum over here. So Mar says, "Hainu Kirfa." That's the question. I mean, that's the problem for Ritarvin's position. Ritarvin says, "What? Here she's going to go marry Shimon, who is Reuben's brother." It says, "Tarvin called them Chutz Mi Reuben." Then she goes marry Shimon. If they die, Reuben dies, Shimon dies without children. She's going to fall to Reuben to have Yibum. You can't perform Yibum. So he says, how's that different than any other case where you marry someone, right, who is quote unquote will be an arayus to the brother who needs to perform Yibum, and they can't perform Yibum? And there are such instances where you have a woman who's married who can't perform Yibum because of her relationship to the brother who needs to perform Yibum. That's not an exceptional case. We do have such cases like that. So if that's the situation, what's the question of Rabbi Tarfon? I'll point out here that Rabbi Akiva Eiger has a Tzarekim and Gadol. He says he does not understand this Gemara. He says, I can't understand what the Gemara is asking over here. The cases are completely different. All right, by the case of Bat Achiv, basically when you marry your niece, one marries their niece.
There's no chalitza.
Right? Well, there's nothing, right? Meaning that he's totally mufka from the parsha of Yibum because there's arayos here from the moment, right? Right? He says, if you write...
There's no akira cloud.
Right, exactly. Very good. So that's what the Rabbi Kiv Eger says. If you're looking at Rabbi Kiv Eger, I don't know where it is on your top, but it says, lo zafiti lahabin, deino min adomen. There's no, these two pieces are totally not parallel. Tahatam lo nofilo lefav the Yibum. There's no Yibum at all. When you have arayos, there is no Yibum. So there's no Akira. I mean, to have Akira, you need Yibum to be there, and then have an Akira. But she ain't came at Tznai, then Ophelic will find out the Yibum. In our case of the Tznai, she really needs to perform Yibum. She's unable to perform Yibum because of his condition. Mina Torah, right, she should be performing Yibum over here. What's preventing her from performing Yibum is the Tznai. That is not true in the case of Bat Achiv. In Bat Achiv, there is no there is no Yibum, because they're totally mufka from the parsha of Yibum. So he says, how can you compare these two cases and say that this is a question on Rabbi Tarfon? He says the two don't look alike at all.
Okay, so, but there's still Isha's deraisa. I mean, she's still married to the Baal with respect to that one. So you can't say there's a solid Isha that exists, you know.
No, it's only because of his tznai. I mean, it's his condition that creates the problem for the yibum. It's not that. I mean, the Torah, she should have to be miyabim here. Just that now this guy left the residual piece.
According to the Torah, it's about tznai.
Second. Right. We'll see this in a second. The question is, this is from yesterday's da'af. Remember in yesterday's da'af, Rabbi Elazar and the chachamim, there was a machlokas, what they argued. Do they argue in the chutz or al-manat? Right, the Gemara here is going to prove that Rabbi Tarfon is talking about Almanat, that it's a Tanai of Almanat. So there really is Mutar, no, there was a Braisa and the Mishnah. So the Gemara set up the Mishnah one way and the Braisa the other way. Right? So now the Gemara is going to go through each of these Tanayim and see which way they go. So that's the next question, the Gemara. So based on the fact that Rabbi Tarfon is Almanat, it's not like what you're saying, Steve. You're right, if it was Bechutz, it would work that way. Right? Ubimai. Right? What's their argument about? What's their argument between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim about? Even if Bechutz, Mishra Shara. Right? If it's Bechutz, then Mishra Shara Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says in that case he's Mutar Legamai. Why? Titania of a Bryce, according to Rabbi Elazar's opinion. Mother, and this will dissect later on in the daf today. Mother Rabbi Elazar, Mergari Shadisho, Bamalayat Mutar Lekoladam, Chutz Mibloni. Person divorces through saying you are Mutar to everybody except anybody. When he says, Ba'akam and Ashuk, she goes and marries a third party. Vidit Arba and Itgarsha, and then she gets divorced or is widowed from this party. She Mutar Lezet, Shinisrela, right? Then she's totally mutter. I mean, that the whole original divorce falls away. The fact that she was remarried, it now falls into the hands of the second guy to be mater her. The second guy's mater her the grammar, and therefore she can go back and marry the first guy that he restricted for her. So if you use the term mikutz, then she'd be totally mutter over here. Ella, what's the case of retirement? Must believe that the machlokes between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim is in a case of almanat. Almanat means on a condition. That means that there's a tznai, a residual tznai in the get. Not that the get is a get except for this person. No, the get is a full get, but it's a condition that you may not marry this person. So therefore, straight back to your question, right, in this case the question of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, she is totally muteret to marry this guy in a Torah. The problem is that there's this exogenous tznai that sits on top of the gerushin, that if she violates it, that will upend her original gerushin. Not that she's not totally divorced, she's divorced from everyone and there is no residual marriage to the original guy. Then Rabbi Yossi Aglili Ba'amar. So Rabbi Yossi Aglili asked on the position of Rabbi Elazar and says, Hekmatzinim asur lezeh mutar lezeh. Where do we find that you have a person who's partly asur and partly mutar? Asur asur lekol, but mutar mutar lekol. Either everyone's asur or no one's asur, right? So hello, is that really true? Very true, my question. Charzur lezeh mutar lezeh. We're talking about true, my question. Mekwanim can eat them. A regular Israel can't eat them. So you have Isurim where it only affects certain people and not other people. So my says, Isur, Isur Kamarin. And we're talking about within Isurim that deal with women. The Harei Rayot. So what about a Rayot? Right, so Arayot are things that are usher to some people and not other, meaning that you're related to an individual, so therefore they're usher to you, but they're not usher to anyone else. Meaning that your relationship creates the usher. So there are people who are, for instance, a sister would be usher to the brother, but not usher to anybody else in the world. So you do have that. So my sister, the issue is coming. I'm talking about a case where you can marry. In a case where there is full ability to marry, right, then, right, you have that case. So Mar says, Ari Shadish, what about marriage? Marriage itself is exactly that. Right? Marriage works this way. The person who marries the woman is mutar to her, and everybody else is also. So you do have that case. You have an instance where a woman is mutar to one person, and also to everybody else in the world. So Mar says, I know Birchon. That's exactly the question on Rabbi Yossi Glili's problem with Rabbi Elazar's position. He says, well, either you're totally also or you're totally mutar. That's not true. Marriage, it's exactly that paradigm where you have someone who's usur and someone who's mutar. So it can't be, so that it upends his question. Ubamai. Now the Gemara asks again, what is the machlokas? According to Rabbi Yossi Glili, what is the machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim? Is it the chutz or almanat? Even in Mubba almanat, if you say that it's nai, and not that he said the chutz, hare hutra, it's lo, biznut. So very interesting. Okay, very interesting question. Ela b'chutz, mesuch b'chutz. Because what if she says, if this is the condition, if he says, Hari at mutarat ha'fol adam, you're mutar to everybody, almat lo tinasei l'ruvein, in order that you do not marry Ruvein. So now, what's the, she's mutarat to everyone, including Ruvein, because the problem is if she marries Ruvein, it reverses her get, right? It ruins her get. But all he said was, you are muter to Reuven as long as you do not marry Reuven. What happens if she's mizan with Reuven? She doesn't marry him, but she has a quote-unquote affair. She's not married anymore, but she has bia with Reuven. Right? That bia does not violate the tnai. The tnai says you may not marry Reuven. So based on that...
So there's a tnai over here that she can't marry this guy. She never, the kiddush will never recover this because she's looking to marry to her first husband with regards to this guy.
So let's ask you a question. Which is first, the second test on the verse. I'm the minister of the Zeshna, so I love them to get battle. You tell me, Halloween is soon, Halloween is very soon, I love Mishim Yisra Yishish. The Tosus on that says, you tell me, it's later on, the Tosus says, how could I'm the minister of the Akar Mita to make a rish? She does it after the original husband dies. So okay, so if she does it after the original husband dies, then you don't have your problem, because even if she violates it and the get is not valid, she's not an Yishish anymore because her husband's dead. So you can have the Kedushin be Chal, right? After the death of her original husband, the Kedushin will be Chal, but still violate her original get. Meaning that it will upend the get, even though she's not in violation. She could marry because she's now a widow.
As widow, she can then marry anybody.
Right.
For anyone that she married between those times.
Right, will cause a problem. Exactly. Alright, so now, what's this? So the Gemara says, Elam of Amanat, Hari Hutra, Eitzlob is Nus. In that, when you say that Amanat is a condition that you don't marry this individual, if she doesn't marry him, but just has a relationship with him, and she has Bia with him, then she's Mutar to everyone. She could have Bia with anyone. So according to him, if you just say that the Tznai is an external Tznai, then you can create a case where she's Mutar. She's Mutar to Nus to everyone. That's why that can't be the case of Rabbi Tarpa. It must be the case of Bechutz, so he believes that their Machlokas is Bechutz when you leave him out, and therefore she is married, or has a residual marriage to this one individual, right, with regards to this Reuven, and that's what causes the problem over here. Alright, Nene Rabbi Kiva Amar. Kiva said his question. Right? Again, this is where Tosfos asks on this case here, Rabbi Kiva, but it's the same question that you have. Okay, the same question Shaul that you had, which is, how is she marrying someone if she's not permitted to marry? But Rabbi Kiva says, what's going to happen? Everybody she marries in between, she's going to create mamzerim. She's going to create a problem. Yafi, so Gemara says, the pool of Tanai, the Alma, Nami, Loti Nashi, Dilma Lomakami Lita Tanai. Then you can say this about any condition that's left in a get. How can we let her marry when you have a Tanai in a get? Maybe she will violate the Tanai, and the get will not take the valid get. Lama Freya, if that's the case, then we shouldn't let any woman who has a residual Tanai in her get, shouldn't let her marry until she's either accomplished the Tanai, or the Tanai is expired, because otherwise you have this risk. That's the exact question of Rabbi Akiva. What's unique about this case of Rabbi Lezer that you have worried about him, her marrying the husband that was the one guy was excluded? Say that for any tonight, and nobody says that by every tonight, she can't marry with such a guest. But just say marry and she has to keep the tonight. So am I. So now again, Rabbi Akiva, how does he explain the machlokes between Rabbi Lezer and Chami? Is it Amanat or Bechutz? Elam and Bechutz, Mishmer Shorah. If you're talking about Bechutz, then she's totally Mutarit. Right? So then, Mishra Shor Rebbe Lezer, we saw this right there, Rebbe Lezer's matzer in this case, the tiny Rebbe Brysa, Modaya Rebbe Lezer, Megarshat Ishto, someone divorces his wife, Ramalari, and he said, oh, I me Ploni, and he left out one person, and then she married the third party. He needs Amar and Garsha, and she was widowed or divorced from that third party, and she's Mutara to the one that she was Oser, Azra. I mean, that the second divorce, it was second widowing, right, clears her totally, clears her slate. It's as if once she marries, the second guy becomes the controlling factor. If he divorces her, he widows her, then she's totally clear on everybody. Also, it must be Amanat, that it was a condition in the get. A condition in the get is not wiped out by the second marriage. Second marriage doesn't help you with the condition, right? And therefore, it would stay. The condition would stay. Dabar, again, we saw that Rabbi Kiva gave a second careful to Rabbi Lezer. She said, includes me Reuven, and Reuven was a Kohen. Umeit Hamigarish. Right? And then the divorcee, the original divorcer dies. Don't even say Damanai, it's over Grusha, it's over Adam. Right? That for regards to this Kohen, she's only a widow. With regards to everyone else, she's a divorcee. Yet we say she can't marry this Kohen because she is considered, she has a Reach HaGet, she's a divorcee in some place. So Kavakomer, Umar Grusha, she kala asura mishum tzad girushin shibah. Over here, where girushin, which is a lighter problem, you know, it's only nisur lav, right over there we say that the Kohen can't marry her because somewhere she's divorced from someone, right? Ish ish kamura lo koshki. Over here, where you're talking about Ariyak Matarka Poladam, chutz. Me Reuven, right, then it's clear that Reuven is still married. She's still married to the original husband with regards to Reuven, and she's Nesh-Nesh with regards to Reuven. If that's the case, why shouldn't that affect everybody? She should be Nesh-Nesh for everybody. Ubimai, what's this machlokas? According to this pirkei and Rabbi Akiva, what's the machlokas? Is it an almanat or chutz? So he says, Hare Grusha Etzlo Biznut. Right? If she wants to be a Grusha, she's a Grusha for him with regards to Znut. Why? Right, she only offered her to marry, right? But with regards to Znus, she's divorced from him. I mean, if you say that the problem is Amanat, that it's a Tznai, that was the Tznai, we said before, the Tznai was that she may not marry Reuven. So she could have Bia with Reuven and not violate the Tznai because she just doesn't marry Reuven. So what do you see from that? You see, what's her status with regards to Reuven? She is divorced from Reuven for Znus. Because she can have Znus with him, and that will not be a violation of her marriage. So it can't be that it's Almanach, because then she really is divorced from Reuven. She's divorced in the sense that she can have Znus with him. So Ella Bechutz, must be that the Machlok is going to be Kiva's Bechutz. So now you have a problem, why? Kiva gave two Pirchot, right? He had two questions on our Beleza position. The first one we said must be Almanach. The question about the Tznai, if she violates the Tznai, then retroactively her divorce isn't good, and everybody, all the marriage in between is invalid, and there'll be Mamzerin. We said that case must be Ba'almanat, that has to be a condition of Almanat. And now we just said the question from Kohen, it has to be a case of Bechutz. So when we keep in one instance is setting up a chutz between Rebbe and the Chachamim as Almanat, and then this case is setting up his Bechutz. Rebbe Akiva, E chutz here, like, Lutiv chutz. If he thinks the problem is chutz, let him ask from his second period. E Almanat, if he thinks that the Machlokes is Almanat, it's really Lutiv Almanat, and ask the first period. So Mar says, Rebbe Akiva Shmuel, right, very good. So this is Mar says, Rebbe Akiva Shmuel, the Ikadam are chutz, Ikadam Almanat. So some people said the Machlokes by chutz, some by Almanat. Mandam are chutz, high period. You want to say chutz? I got this period for you. Hi, Pircha. I got this Pircha for you. Well, my Pircha, right? What's the problem with the second case of Rabbi Akiva? We said Rabbi said that we have a question in all the positions of these Rabban. So we said Rabbi Akiva, we had the first position that he had on the mat. He said there was a Pircha because then his question should apply to any condition, any Tznai, not simply to a Tznai of Ishut. Right, so then, what about the second case here with the Kohen? What's the question on Rabbi Kiva's question on Rabbi Kiva? So Umar says, you name it, Yisir Kuhuna Shiny. What are you going to say? That a Kohen's different. Right, a Kohen is held to a higher standard. Since a Kohen is held to a higher standard, that's why when she's divorced from others, does it affect him? But, by marriage, just because she's married to one guy, maybe that doesn't affect the other people. So Umar says, wait a minute. How Rabbi Lezer not Yisir Kuhuna Kamaitile? What's the source for Rabbi Lezer's position that when you're divorced, chutz may, what's his source that it works? Right? He says what? Isha grusha mi isha. A woman divorced from a man may not marry a Kohen. But we're going to say isha grusha mi isha. Isha is just a singular. Right? So even if she's only divorced from some people, right, and not others, she's still considered a right, grusha. So Rabbi Lezer's source is from a Kohen. If her source is from Kohen, then how can you say that Yisir Kohen shiny? Because his whole source for his position is from Kohen. So Mar says, right, so Rabba, so he says, Rabba to Rabbi Yana, Mishum Zakin HaKamandi. Rabba learns like the other. We had two sources for Rabbi Lezer. One source was from Kohen, Yishak Ruach HaMishah. The other one was, the other source for Rabbi Lezer was that, right, Tal Yishakeh, that she can be, even if she's only able to marry one other person, then it's valid. So if you're learning now from Yishak Yishakeh, then you're not learning out from Kohen. And therefore, if you bring a question from Kohen, you can say Kohen is different because Kohen has a higher standard. Whereas according to the other opinion that we learned out from Kohen, you couldn't ask this question on Rabbi Akiva. So Rabba, who says that the question of Rabbi Akiva's position must hold like Rabbi Yana and Yishum Zaki and Echad, who says the source of Rabbi Lezer is Vayitali Yishakeh, and not the source of Kohen. Right now, I'm relying on Rabbi Yeshua, and the question is running back to Rabbi Yeshua's position. Can't ask a question on Rabbi Yeshua after he's dead, after Rabbi Lezer, after he's dead. The main part of Rabbi Yeshua, Kavateh Sphirle, sounds like Rabbi Yeshua holds like Rabbi Lezer. Can't ask a question on this, isn't it? So he says, Rabbi Yeshua himself asks a question on Rabbi Lezer's position. Tzachik Amar Lehu, the Didi, not me, just leave here. But the truth be, I have a question on the Muslim position too. Mew, Ben the Didi, Ben the Tchu, and Mishimetri Lacha Mita. But between me and you, it doesn't matter. Both me and you, or I and you, right? All of us cannot ask a question because he's dead. My Pircha, the Rabbi Shua. Let's look at who's questioning on the position of Rabbi Shua at the time. Amar Rabbi Shua, Mekish Kod Me Havai Yashniya, the Kod Me Havai Rishona. Right? It says that the second marriage is just, it has a hekesh to the first marriage. Because what it says over there, Kikach Ishisha, the person gets married, and then afterwards it says that if he doesn't go Matzabat or Matzabar, then he wants to get divorced, it says, so in the same parsha it says Kikaki Shisha, which is the first marriage, and it says Vaitali Shakir, which is the second marriage. So the heck is the same first and second marriage. Just like the first marriage, when the woman comes into the marriage, she's attached to nobody going into the marriage. So too, when she enters into her second marriage, she cannot have anybody who is attached to her. So therefore, that's the question Rabbi Shua had on the position of Rabbi Elazar. If you have a parallel between the first marriage and the second marriage, they should look alike. Just like the first marriage, she was attached to no one because she was single. And then the second marriage, she should be attached to no one because the divorce completely divorces her. Right, now, Kufa, again, the Gemara is now going back to the statement we saw of Rabbi Elazar during the Gemara, which is that, Moda Rabbi Elazar Mugarshishto, a person who divorces his wife, Amar Lahari Akbazar Lukhodam Kutsmiploni, Kachav, and he says, Akhane Shuk, if she marries a third party, even if Amar Noni Garsha from this third party, she materialized the Zesh and Esra Allah, and it clears her totally, and she's allowed to go back and marry even Kutsmi Ruben, she's allowed to go back and marry Ruben. But quite this word Moda is a little strange here because who's he mean Moda to? The Chacham don't agree to this position at all. If you, you know, the way the partial get doesn't work at all according to them. So who's the Moda? Because he went out, who's the Moda here? Was he admitting to? But it isn't clear.
There's no difference at that point.
Right. I assume that you have to lose the term loosely, which is not that he's mogul with someone else, but he says in this instance, then it clears up Ruben. But Hishiv Rabbi Shimon Elazar, Shuva Ladur Elazar. Shimon Elazar asked, I had a question on Rabbi Elazar's position. How do you ever find a case where the first husband makes her asur and the second husband can free her? I mean, where do you find any case in the Torah where one person makes the isur and the other person makes the heter? So he says, hello, and that's not true. Where are you from up? Well, you have a case of yibam. The baal osir, the yabam matir. The baal makes the woman asur to everybody else in the world, and the yabam is the one who's matir, meaning if he divorces her afterwards. No. Who makes her usher to the rest of the world? The Yavam, because she has to marry the Yavam. So either she's usher because she's supposed to marry the Zika Zibam, or if he marries her, then he's the one who makes her usher. Zimim Baal Hashar Yevakayomo. If the first Baal is the one who causes the Easter, he's dead. So she's free and clear. Or Nidarim. So what about Nidarim? We have a case of Nidarim. The Noder Oser, the person who takes the Neder is Oser, the Chacham Matir. And the Chacham is Matir the Neder. So you have someone else doing Matir, the Easter of someone else. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan and Yahafa Matir Kum El Macharata. No. How does the Chacham do a Tzaras Nedarim? Through the regret of the original Noder. And the original Noder must have Charata on what it did. So if that's the case, it's really the Noder. The Chachamim is just the, using the, right, he's the way to find out what the Charata is, but he's using the Noder himself to generate the Heter, the Hatara. Right, what about Hariyah Farat HaBaal? A Farat Nidarim, where the husband is matir the neder of the woman. The Isha no deret, the Baal may fair. The woman takes the neder, and the Baal is able to upend it, to be nullified. Hatam Kerb Pinchas, Mishmei made the Rabba. Why does a Farat Nidarim work? That's because the position of Pinchas Mishmei the Rabba. The Amar Pinchas Mishmei the Rabba, calling the deret, that Baal no deret. There's an implicit deny in the neder of the Isha that the husband will have to acquiesce. And when the husband does not acquiesce, that's what's matir the neder. So it's not that he's matir something she's oser. She's left a petach for the husband to be maker in her original nether. Okay, nether, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, v'amar kritut. Right, kritut means davar karet beinod veinat. It's something that totally separates from them. Hagamata shein zei kritut. But this is not considered division. So right, that's what Gedalia asked before. What's his position? Rabbanan, hai kritut mahabdilei. Right, what does the Rabbanan do with this kritut? If kritut means total separation, what does the Rabbanan do with this? Mibay lehu zektanya. They use the word kritut for something else. How do you say kitayik? I'm not sure to teach the yayin, that you do not drink wine. I'm not sure to tell for the Beit Aviv, the Olam, that you will never drink wine again, or you will never go to your father's house again. That is not a division. Because, I'm sorry?
This is the Olam
Einzek Pitut. Olam Einzek Pitut, right? That it's not a Pitut. Why? Because he didn't separate between them, because there's something residual for the rest of her life. She's tied down to this guy because of this condition. Shloshim yom. But if she says for 30 days, Harizek Pitut, then it is a division. Right? So then Gemara says, V'idah mikaretz pitut. Rabbi Elazar learns that out from the fact that it says karetz and pitut, so that the extra lesson of pitut. Now, V'idah karetz pitut lo darshin. They don't learn this. Karetz pitut does not have an extra drush with them. So now, Amar Rav, Arzik b'techon nashol tishri yayin ko yimei chayai. He says, this is a gift for you if you don't drink wine my entire life. Einzek pitut. Right? That's not a pitut. But if he says that all the lifetime of someone else, right, then that is a pitut. What's the difference between someone else? The demo might. Because maybe that person will die before, right, the husband or the wife dies. Right? And the kind of lay the tonight, and the tonight will be finished, and she'll still be alive. So if he says you can't drink wine the rest of my life, so same thing. Demo might. Maybe the husband will die, and the kind of lay the tonight, and the tonight will be done, and this woman will be able to go on and get married and not have the time to be there with the rest of her life. So Elaima, so it says this, if he says that the tonight is extant for the rest of your life, meaning the woman's life, that's not kritut, because that will live with her till the day she dies. So tonight can never be kuyam before she dies. If that's the case, it's never a kritut. Whereas if he says kuyam mechaye all my life, or chaye kuyam, or the life of someone else, there is a kritut. That is a divorce. Why? Because there is a point. If either one of them could die, they can predecease her. If they predecease her, the tonight is gone, and she's still alive. So there is a priesthood before she dies. So it's not the No, the get's valid immediately. It's just it's a tonight that if she violates the tonight, it will upend the get. Right, it'll fall apart. But the get is a get immediately. Right. Well, but there is a possibility of that predeceasing, and that already makes it so there is a priesthood. Not that she has to predecease, but you have to have a possibility of being a full severing of the relationship before she dies, and that there is a possibility in this case. If I may rub him, Rav Nachman, Ayom, Iatishti, Lumakar, Atishti. Today you're not my wife. Tomorrow you are my wife. So he's divorcing her for a day. No, what's the din? By the Rabbi Lezer, by the Rabbanu. Be questioned by the Rabbi Lezer, and the Rabbanu. Right. By the Rabbanu. The one who's matir, even though he says, whoever is mutter forever. But here, the guy who's matir, when he's matir, it's only for a day, and you're back to me. Right? Oh, Dilma, it makes no difference. That's because he didn't ever totally divorce her. I mean, the only divorce her means that you say that's the father of the Ruben. It's not totally divorced. Give the paska paska. Once she's divorced, she's entirely divorced. Oh, you want to marry her again tomorrow? That's fine, but for the moment, she's totally divorced. So, Bhattad Bhai, how the Pashta, after he asked the question, he answered the question. That's why he doesn't go by Sack and say the second time to the Rabbana, because as soon as he said, came the paska paska, he realized that was the answer. Stop, Rabin, Rab Lezer, Ben the Rabbana, came to paska paska. Since already, once he severed the relationship, it's totally severed. And Tosa says, what does it mean, totally severed? That she's divorced and not married again. Meaning that once he divorces her, he can't say you're divorced and then you're married to me tomorrow. The divorce goes into effect, that's a full divorce, and she's not married the next day. Once she's free and clear. Okay, we'll stop here.